Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God from the Old Testament reading for the Festival of the Holy Trinity. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This is God's Word. In Jesus' name. Apologize from the start here. I'm getting over a respiratory infection. I've got antibiotics for it and everything, and I feel good, but my voice is kind of giving out on me. But Mark Mortal put two glasses of water up here for me, so he's winning at being an elder today. So thank you, Mark. Well done. So we'll get through it together. We hear that word we just said a few moments ago in the Athanasian Creed. I can tell because of just how Lutheran we all here are here that we kind of crinkle our nose and furrow our brow at it. This is the Catholic faith. Blech, Catholic, right? I mean, aren't we Lutherans the ones that reformed the church and broke away from the Catholic Church? No, not exactly. If you were to ask Martin Luther, he surely would have said that he was a faithful Catholic until the day that he died, and his only aim was to point the church back to Christ, back to how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit save us through grace, through faith alone. So when we talk about the Catholic faith, notice that a small C in there, not a big C. That word Catholic doesn't just belong to Rome, it belongs to all of us, because that word Catholic means having to do with all times and all places. That there is only one faith. It is a Catholic faith that applies to you and to me and everyone outside these walls. It doesn't matter what kind of church you're sitting in this morning, you're in the same boat. We all have one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a reckoning for all of us in relationship to that God. And Isaiah has this vision in our Old Testament reading where he is before the throne of God and it terrifies him. Seraphim, angels that fly around the throne, six wings apiece, and they sing out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Now, it is true that the word Trinity is never found in the Bible. Even though the Bible clearly teaches that there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have this threefold singing of holy. Not only do the angels sing that the Lord is holy, they sing it three times. And that's significant. Because when the Bible repeats something, you pay attention to it. That's a very Hebrew way of writing in the Old Testament, that to emphasize something, you repeat it. But not often does it do it three times. Holy, holy, holy. And there stands Isaiah before the throne of God. And he recognizes, "Woe is me, I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." Isaiah recognizes that he cannot stand before the throne of God as he is. And he's right. He can't. And Isaiah reminds us here of something I think we've lost quite a bit of in the church today. Now, I'm not just saying here at Our Redeemer. I'm saying the church in general, okay? You know how older generations kind of like to talk about the things kids don't do anymore, right? Oh, the kids today, they don't know how to work. And, oh, when I was a kid, I had to walk. You know how it goes? Uphill both ways to school in 10 feet of snow and so on, that sort of thing. I think there's something that goes beyond generations. And that is a sense of reverence and acknowledgement that we are in the presence of a holy God. And we, in and of ourselves, are not holy. That when you are in the presence of a holy God, you are lost. You are ruined. There is no hope for you. And so I want you to think about what we sang this morning in that very first hymn. God Himself is present. What did we sing in the second hymn? Holy, holy, holy. God is present and He is holy. And that poses a problem for you and me. Because we're not holy in and of ourselves. We do not have the right to come before a holy God thinking that we're somehow so good and so pure and so righteous in and of ourselves that we can just stroll in here and enjoy the presence of God. That ought to strike fear in our hearts, not make us afraid. I'm thinking fear like Luther talked about in the Catechism. You know, when Luther described the Ten Commandments, and we just a couple weeks ago finished talking about the Ten Commandments at our Wednesday night services. Commercial, again, if you're not coming Wednesday night at 7, come Wednesday nights at 7. All of the commandments, Luther explains them this way. First commandment, you should have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God. Third commandment, remember the Sabbath day. What does this mean? We should fear and love God. Luther's not talking about being afraid of God. He means recognizing who God is and what you are not. God is holy. You're not. We are not. You've probably looked at the bulletin and seen the title of the sermon. Okay, Pastor, Matt, what are you getting at here? Sermon title says, "You are holy." That was Isaiah's problem, wasn't it? He could not be in the presence of a holy God, and yet, when he recognized that, we read this strange account of one of the seraphim taking a coal from the altar there in the presence of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he touches the